Hey, everybody. Welcome to Best Show Bests, the best of the best show. And you can find out more about the best show over at thebestshow.net. It airs live every Tuesday night from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Standard Time. And if you're new to the program, this show, these are little bite-sized bits and greatest hits type samples of what we do every week. So if you like this, maybe you check out the full show. And if you want to support The Best Show, we have a Patreon set up over at patreon.com/thebestshow. That is how you support the program. It is listener-sponsored now, and you give what you can, and we appreciate it. And there are prizes and benefits at all different levels of giving. So again, go to patreon.com/thebestshow and support the show. And now please, without further ado, check out this episode of Best Show Bests. I'm going to go back to the phones, see what's as a Big Star and Marvin Gaye said. Let's see what's going on. Best Show.
Hey, Tom, what's happening? It's Rick in South Newbridge. What's going on?
Oh, hey, Rick. What's up tonight in South Newbridge?
Loving the show, having fun. You know, I haven't had a chance to listen to last week's show, but I'm very excited. I'm a huge Supertramp fan.
Mm-hmm.
So I can't wait to hear your interview with Mr. Hodgson.
Uh-huh. Okay, I think I can. It was actually John Hodgman, the author comedian John Hodgman, not Roger Hodgson from Supertramp.
Yeah, it wasn't. Who was it?
It was John Hodgman.
The fertility doctor from Baby Mama?
I believe he did play a fertility doctor in Baby Mama, yeah.
Huh.
Yeah, so but he was here, and it was a fun show. You should check it out.
Well, I'm not so interested now.
Well, oh, okay. I'm sorry, you a big Supertramp fan?
Love them, yeah, yeah. And they didn't get good until that song, It's Raining Again. It's kind of late in the day.
So you're not a fan of the earlier stuff?
Nah, too punk, too loud.
Too loud. All right, I don't know if people would say it was punk. So the album with the piano up on the snow-covered piano, that's like a punk album?
Oof, that's like I you know, my version of the Stooges or something. Yeah, it's too much.
Just too intense.
Shrill, just, yeah, it's like buzzsaw. I don't like it.
Yeah.
Want it.
The album cover, the album with the snow-covered piano.
Ooh, yeah, I don't like the cold either.
Okay.
Not a fan.
Well, you know, to each his own, Rick.
Right?
Yeah, I guess so, right?
Yeah, yeah. Hey, I know you joke about this.
Uh-huh.
But, you know, Rex Tillerson, right?
What's that?
Rex Tillerson, you know, the head of Exxon, and he's going to be the Secretary of State.
Uh-huh.
I know you joke about this thing, but I'm 90% certain that Elvis Presley played a character named Rex Tillerson in that 1968 film Catnip that he did with Marlo Thomas, that girl.
Yeah. Rex Tillerson.
That was his character, yeah. IMDb it.
So Elvis Presley actually was... So that's just the ultimate coincidence.
It is, yeah. It's crazy. Yeah.
Wow. Because it is like the ultimate Elvis Presley movie-sounding name.
Yeah.
Rex Tillerson.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'll take your word for it. I'm not gonna IMDb it.
Hey, you seen Collateral Beauty yet?
Not yet.
Ooh. No.
You saw it?
Yeah, I did. I don't want to ruin it for anyone, though, but I do posit this question.
Mm-hmm.
Has there ever been a film where the title of the movie that's not a character's name has been uttered 6 times in 2 minutes?
So in that movie, they say the phrase... Collateral Beauty.
They do, yes.
How? I don't even know what that...
I don't want to ruin it for you, but it's said, I swear to you.
What does that mean, collateral?
You've got to see the movie.
I don't know if I'm going to see this movie.
Oh, please, it's so good.
Is it?
No!
It looks terrible.
It is.
It's got Will Smith in it.
Yes.
And it's got Helen Mirren.
Yes.
And then, who else is in it? Like, Keira Knightley?
Yes, and her mouth. Who else is in it? Edward Norton is in it?
Edward Norton.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
And he has, one of those newish kind of, mohawk-y kind of deals that kids wear.
Like that thing that looks like you, I'm trying to think how you describe
it. Like a Travis Barker kind of thing.
Yeah, yeah, it's like a punk hawk.
Yes, yeah.
But it also has enough hair on it that you could probably do something to it to fit in if you
absolutely, yes. It's a safe mohawk. That's what we used to call it back in the day.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, yeah. And there's this other guy in it whose name I don't know.
Okay.
Yeah, so.
I will not check that out.
I don't think you should. Ooh, but are you a fan of The Man in the High Castle?
I have not started watching it, no.
I just started season 2 today.
Okay.
And again, I won't ruin it for you, but I'll give you a nutshell, okay? It's basically the Nazis win World War II, and so now America is run by these super right-wing racists.
Mm-hmm.
It's crazy. It's I don't know where these writers come up with these situations that could never actually happen in real life.
Yeah, yeah. It seems pretty... pretty freaky.
Pretty far-fetched, right?
Pretty far, yeah. I saw, when I was walking around the other day in New York City, they had a billboard for it, street-level billboard, which basically features the Statue of Liberty doing, a Sieg Heil kind of thing.
Well, provocative.
And I saw people getting their picture taken in front of it.
Oh, that's good. That's nice.
I don't know if they thought... I don't know if it was a matter of them saying, let's get a picture of our 12-year-old daughter in front of the TV show we all like.
Probably.
Or if it's, let's get a picture of our 12-year-old daughter in front of this Nazi salute.
Possibly.
Yeah.
I don't know what's going on.
It's a weird world, Rick.
It is. But I'm happy about one thing in particular today.
What's that?
The MC5 did not get... into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Why would you be happy about that?
Well, they've had no impact on anything, really, on modern music. They've had nothing. Nothing has been built upon the work that they did.
Mm-hmm.
No one likes them, and they're pretty meaningless.
Well, I would disagree with all of those things.
Really?
Yeah, but I think they're one of the most influential bands, and they were legends who didn't get chart success, but their impact is enormous.
Huh. Well, speaking of chart success, Pearl Jam did get in.
They did, yes.
Yeah.
Very exciting.
How do you feel about that?
Oh, I think it's a thrill that they're finally going to be honored for everything they did for music, which was...
And this was not their first round, was it?
I think it might have been their first.
Oh, it was. Okay.
Yeah, I think that was an immediate shoo-in.
Okay, yeah.
I think what they did for music was pretty much tie a flannel shirt around the waist of the Allman Brothers.
I was going to say Foghat, but yeah, that's true too. Yeah,
because there is kind of that lazy jam rock vibe to them.
It's like I remember when those first videos came out, I was just like, is that Richie Sambora? What's going on here? Why is this cool?
Yeah, I look, they had that one huge album.
Right.
Then they had that second huge album.
Right.
Then they had that third album, which was less huge than the first two.
Yeah.
And then they released every concert that they ever did on CDs.
Right.
And then they fought with Ticketmaster.
Right.
And then I guess then we jump forward and here we are.
We are here. First round.
Yeah. They earned it.
They did. MC5.
Didn't earn it. Just in case you wondered what it would be like to take rock music and like, it's like if you're listening to like a record you love, but you kept putting your finger on the turntable every once in a while.
Interesting. I've never thought about that.
To just slightly slow it down.
Right. Hey, can you? I know you're kind of in the industry on some level. I'm hearing these rumblings that Dave Marsh is lobbying to get each of the E Street members inducted individually.
I heard he thinks that it's really important,
right,
that each member get in and be honored for their individual accomplishments for rock music.
I've heard that too. Okay. Also, so it's not just a tiny rumor that's been going around. It sounds like it's true.
No, I think it's crucial that it.
I think
happened.
It is too.
I think it's
too.
Crucial.
Yeah.
That we honor. Not only that these people from the E Street Band get honored for being in the E Street Band,
right?
But that they also be honored for their individual contributions to music. Like some of them played on Bat Out of Hell,
true, yeah.
Which needs to be honored.
Absolutely, yeah.
Yeah,
one of them produced a Steve Forbert album.
That needs to be honored.
Yep, I agree. Oh, hang on. Let me get my dog what's up over here.
What's that?
What's up?
But what are you doing?
What's up? What's up, my love?
What are you doing?
Hey, Tom!
Who?
How are you?
Who's this?
What's up?
Who is this?
What's up?
What's... Oh, is your name What's Up?
Yes!
And you're a dog?
Yes!
How are you, boy?
Okay, I hope Westworld gets a Golden Globe because it's scary.
You find Westworld scary?
I do, but I also liked Stranger Things, which was scary too.
So you want some scary shows to get awards?
I do.
Okay.
Master, ask Tom to do the impression.
I'm not going to do that.
Did he just say master?
He did. He calls me master. He respects me.
Okay.
I think that's a perfectly
now,
appropriate...
What impression?
Salutation.
What impression are you looking? Did you want...
Well, look. What's Up and I love when you do those impressions. We just love it, okay? And to us, you're like the Rich Little of the Palm Pilot generation.
Wait, say that again?
You're like the Rich Little of the Palm Pilot generation to us.
The Rich Little of the Palm... Okay, I didn't know I was a part of the Palm Pilot generation.
Absolutely, yes. So, look, I've heard you do both of these separately, but I'd love to hear you do Tommy Chong and Joe Walsh debating who was a better band, the Dirt Bombs or the Gorries.
Joe Walsh and Tommy Chong...
Yes.
Arguing about whether the Dirt Bombs or the Gorries were better?
Yes.
Huh.
How would it go?
Wow. Hey, how you doing?
I'm doing pretty good, man. So, I was just listening to Ultra Gliding Black, man. That's a good album.
Yeah, I like the Gorries. I know you be house rocking. They recorded it in a tin shed.
Yeah, man, but the Dirt Bombs got two drummers, man. Ultra Gliding Black covers. And then they did their album after that, man. Which had original songs on it, man. And the bubblegum, too. Two drummers, man. Not easy to do.
I love it. I can't get enough. Oh. I'm sorry.
No, I'm
I just
sorry,
think it's the best.
I apologize.
It's great.
I'm glad you liked it. I'm glad you
I
liked
love
it, Rick. Okay.
Can I join in on the fun, please?
Can you join in on what fun?
I want to do imitation stuff with you.
Okay. Yeah,
please.
Let's hear it.
All right. How about what about we pick our favorite SCTV sketches? All mm-hmm. right, and you be Joe Namath because that's my favorite, and I'll be you know, I do a pretty good quiet Phil Anselmo.
Phil Anselmo from Pantera?
Yes, yeah, and Down.
Okay. We wouldn't want to miss Down also.
Yeah.
All right, so what are we going to do here then? We're going to do... I'll be Joe Namath and you be Phil Anselmo from Pantera.
Yeah.
And what are we doing? Debating our favorite SCTV bits?
Yeah, I'll start, okay?
Okay.
Hey, Joe, I don't know what you're into when it comes to SCTV. You might have to pod me up a little bit, because I told you it is quiet.
I podded you up. I already podded
you. Thank you.
I'm
not sure what your favorite SCTV sketch is, but I know that mine's Half-Wits. It's got Martin Short doing that great stuff. He's got that real crunch going on. What's your favorite?
Well, Phil, I just want to tell you that, look, I'm a huge fan of Martin Short on Half Wits as well. I enjoy Lawrence Orbach is the character you're referencing, and but I'm always a fan more of everything from when you think of William B. Williams and the Bobby Bittman when they were on the Sammy Maudlin show. Especially when William left the show because the demographics were not, they were saying that the audience didn't want to see William on the show anymore. So he went and did his own show. And I remember one joke on that was, he told a monologue joke that bombed and someone in the audience yelled, "What about Libya? Do you think that's funny?"
That's classic. That's classic humor. I love that one where the same episode where Marty Short comes out. I can't remember the character's name, but he's the old, like Irving Cohen or something, and he sings that song, and he goes, Oh, William B., the fella sitting right next to me, and all, that's a bouncy C or something. I love that stuff.
And then he said, Roy. What the hell kind of name is Roy?
We could do this all night,
all night. That could go all night.
I love it. I love it.
That is so that is so funny.
Hey, this kind of slides right into my whole reason for calling.
Yeah? What's that, Rick?
You do voice work, right?
Uh-huh.
Like, you've done some real stuff.
A little bit, yeah, here and there, sure.
Well, I have a really great opportunity for you.
Okay.
I would love to have you narrate my documentary.
Your documentary?
Yes.
What is your documentary about?
Well, it's the story of a man who was arrested and jailed for a crime he's adamant he didn't commit. And we follow him from his arrest to his imprisonment, and then to his eventual exoneration.
Wow. Oh, that sounds really interesting.
Awesome. Well, you know, I hope this... I took a liberty. I emailed you a page about 5 minutes ago. I sent it to tom.tildasharpling@thebesttildashow.net.
Yes, that's it.
Okay,
hold on. Let me check my email. Oh, here we go. Okay. All right. So what do you want me to just...
I'd love for you just to read it, you know, like how you see fit, you know, serious, like you see it in...
Huh. Well, this is a good
crime documentaries or something,
opportunity.
You know?
Yeah, this is... All right. So this... So just read this straight.
Yeah. Yeah. Put some drama into it, though. It's, you know, it's serious stuff.
All right. As Rick felt the cold steel of the handcuffs click across his wrists... He knew that things had indeed changed for the worst.
Hi, everybody. Tim Heidecker here to let you know about our latest episode of Office Hours Live.
Office Hours is great fun.
With the great John Early and Theda Hamill.
Very handsome.
Thank you. They're here to talk about their new movie, Stress Positions, And we just had a wonderful time. There was a lot of laughter and joy. Don't believe me? Well, listen for yourself on the podcast app of your choice. You're not going to want to miss a second. That's at Office Hours Live at the podcast app of your choice.
Bum, 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 bum.
I love Vic and Doug, and I love drinking my wine.
From this day onward, he would be known not as the man he had been his whole life. Once his head was lowered into the back of the police car and the door slammed, now Rick would be known to all as a suspect. Every one of his actions would be scrutinized, questioned, overanalyzed. People would speculate on his guilt. Those who knew him before this bloody crossroads would wonder if they had been deceived by a master trickster, a man who buried his bloodlust deep inside the skin of a normal person. Or perhaps he was an innocent man, accused of a crime he did not commit. Either way, Rick would now be forced to face the consequence of that fateful night for the remainder of his days. The red lights from the top of the squad car pierced the night, shattering what was until that point an evening like any other. And standing at the center of the spectacle was Rick, alone, imprisoned, about to face judge, jury, and perhaps even executioner. His fate was unknown. His future would be a circus of lawyers and courtrooms. Rick looked out the window as the police vehicle drove off into that fateful Newbridge night and wondered what lay in store for him. How's that?
Oh, my God. As far as I'm concerned, you got the job if you want it. My God.
Oh,
oof.
Cool. Thanks. So, the thing I just read, it was Rick, right? And that's is it a coincidence? You're Rick also,
right?
And the guy in the copy I read there was Rick,
right? Yeah.
So that's a
It's me. Why?
Oh wait, so it's not a coincidence.
It's me. Yeah.
Hold on. Wait. That stuff. The movie that I'd be doing this for is about you.
Yeah. You're talking to the star of Constructing a Killer. Why?
Constructing a Killer.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Now I get it. So this is now it's all making sense. So this is basically a ripoff of the Netflix series Making a Murderer, not Constructing a Killer.
How dare you? It's not a ripoff of Making a Murderer. It's revenge upon Making a Murderer.
A revenge upon Making a Murderer?
Yes, yeah.
Well, I don't know what that means.
Well, see, last week I went on a date with this flagrant hottie I met on that new dating app, Bridgeter. Have you heard of Bridgeter?
I have not heard of Bridgeter. Well, I've not used it because I'm not on the market, but it's a date. What is it? It's like an app that, it's like a local app?
Yeah. It's like Tinder, but only for the Newbridge area. And, you know, they rank the ladies based on skank factor and the guys on the weirdest things that show up on their arrest record.
Wow, okay. So that's...
Yeah, like my bro Dell, he's in the top 10 because he was busted for Felonious Monk.
What is Felonious Monk?
Well, he stole a box of domesticated chipmunks from the pet pit out on Animal Avenue.
Oh, so the crime of Felonious Monk is?
Sure is.
Okay, well, I guess look, I'm not a lawyer. So I'm learning these things along with everyone else.
I'm here to learn.
Yeah.
A great man once said that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, look, anyway, I was super into this broad, but all she could talk about all night was how she binge-watched that show Making a Murderer 2 weeks before, and she's just talking about all these theories that there are about the guilt or the innocence of these people, you know, and to make matters worse, she really seemed bored with me. And, you know, she hasn't responded positively to my myriad text calls or workplace pop-ins.
Okay, so you're... Look, I'm not even going to get into the fact that you're doing a workplace pop-in on her.
Fair enough.
Uh-huh.
So, basically, you know, I'm so in love / obsessed with her that logic dictates that in order to win her love, I need to be arrested for and subsequently exonerated for the crime of murder in the first degree.
All right, that I don't even know what to make. That this is just... Hold on. I got to wrap my head around where your head is at on this.
Hmm.
All right. Walk me. Can you walk me through this, Rick?
Okay. All right. Listen up, because I'm only going to lay this on your ass once.
All right. That's a very strange way of saying that, but...
That's how we talk in my household.
Okay. Well, go ahead. Right. I want to hear this.
Okay. Well, the first thing I need to do, obviously, is find out about a murder that's going to be committed.
Okay. Well, I got to say, right off the top, that sounds like a first step that is completely insurmountable.
Or is it, Tom? Look, if you've read any of the books about the Quin Cities organized crime, you know that the Colonelino family does all their business in that sub-basement of this sleazy, flagrantly sketchy dive bar called Massa's Tavern. Have you heard of this place?
I have, yes.
Oof, that place is bad news.
Uh-huh.
I'll tell you, it's so messed up.
Yeah.
That they have a known serial killer openly working there.
A known serial killer?
They do, yeah. The Lisk is bartending at Massa's. Have you heard of this guy?
The Lisk. Mike Lisk. Because he is a bartender there.
Mm-hmm.
And Lisk also stands for Long Island Serial Killer.
Mm-hmm.
Which is a guy or out on Long Island who's...
Mm-hmm.
All right. And look, I don't know. I don't think it's him. But I'm saying this. It might be. I don't know. Rick, I'm gonna say yeah. Also.
Okay. Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. So the other day, I got a part-time job as a bar back at Massa's.
Uh huh.
And my job, is basically to go into that sub basement every half hour when the Colonelinos are having their meetings.
Mm-hmm.
And I go around and I pick out the empty glasses, I empty the cigarette, the ashtrays and things. And, of course, I've got to act like I'm not paying attention to what they're saying, but I am. I'm hoping I'm going to pick up on a small morsel about an upcoming slaying.
Okay, all right.
And, I assume they just get Mike to do all this icing because by all accounts, he's a pretty prolific killer. Mm-hmm. He's supposed to be great at it. Like really great at it and loves it.
All right, at killing.
So today, I did hear something about a murder being planned.
Wait, you actually heard about a murder?
Yes, yeah.
Being planned?
Yes.
Yeah?
So, these Goombas, they're going on and on about how Gus Brennan is going to get iced this Saturday afternoon when he goes to the Newbridge Nanoplex to see Bad Santa 2.
Okay.
Yeah, I guess they were able to hack into his Fandango account.
So, you're not talking about Gus Brennan, the legendary baseball player from the Newbridge Ratmen.
The very same, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, seems old Gus was high on a cocktail of cocktails and that sick new drug, Anvil Radish. Have you heard about this thing? Makes you go crazy.
I don't even want to know about
Turns
Anvil
Radish. Turns your brain gray.
Okay.
Grayer, it's already gray. Uh-huh. Like black.
Uh-huh. Like an anvil.
Yes, Anvil Radish. So anyway, Gus bets $50,000 on the Yankees to win last Sunday's Giants-Cowboys game.
Wait, so what did he bet?
He bet $50,000 that the Yankees would win.
He bet that a baseball team would win a football game.
His brain is really gray.
Uh-huh.
Well, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So they took his bet.
They did, yes. Yeah, so he's obviously, he's in big trouble on that. But on the bright side, he is going to win that bet that he has going about the Colonelino family killing him.
All right, this I get. So he's losing the bet about the baseball team winning the football game.
Yes.
But he's going to win a bet that the Colonelino family... So he made a bet that the Colonelino family would kill him.
Yes.
And then he'll win that bet.
Exactly. Possibly the weirdest bet ever placed, right?
Because he's betting it with them.
Exactly, yeah, yeah. So, but, you know, so unfortunately all the money that he's going to make on this, it's all going to go to the IRS because Gus is a Trump-level deadbeat when it comes to paying taxes.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Okay, well, I got to say, I don't understand your role in this whole thing.
Come on. It's as plain as the dumb nose on your stupid face.
Okay, I don't like, that's not nice. But
all right, well, I'll fire down my genius plan on your ass right now, all right?
All right, I'm ready.
Okay, so obviously I get arrested for this thing, all right?
Okay.
Okay. First, I make I plant a beef seed with Gus. You know, like a beef with something?
Yeah.
With someone?
Uh-huh.
Like, you're not agreeing with them?
Sure.
That's a beef seed. You plant that seed?
Okay.
I plant a beef seed with Gus a day before the killing. I get into a minor altercation / shoving match with him in public, a very public, like a mall or something.
Okay.
So people think there's a motive.
Yeah.
And I'm even going to yell, "Dead man tell no tales," as I drive off.
Okay.
Secondly, I make sure I'm seen in the vicinity of the Nanoplex within an hour of the murder. All right?
All right.
Three, I leave tire and, you know, boot tracks at the scene of the crime that have to be matched with my shoes and my car. Four, I put a hot meatball sandwich on Gus's car hood just before he goes to the movies on Saturday.
Okay.
And, you know, of course, that's Gus's favorite dish. He loves it. And so the coroner, he's going to be able to pinpoint the time of Gus's death by the contents of his stomach. Right? So they've got this time.
All right.
But then they're going to realize that at the exact time of the murder, I'm on videotape all the way across town, videotaped by a security camera, filling up my car at that Pump and Blow and Blow. Have you heard about this place?
What is it?
It's called Pump and Blow and Blow. It's that new gas station / hairdresser / brothel on Road Street.
All right. Okay. I've passed by it. I didn't know that that's what it was.
Don't go in if you're married. That's my only advice.
Don't go into Pump and Blow and Blow.
Yes.
I won't.
Okay. So, a week after my arrest, they realize I was at this place, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't do it. So I'm sprung from the can.
Okay.
I sue the city of Newbridge for $130 million. And then Daddy is on Easy Street until this country is covered in hot lava in June of 2045.
Until the... Oh. All right. Well, you're...
How I have visions.
Yeah. Well, it seems like your thing is kind of built around... So, first of all, $130 million.
Yes, yeah.
You're going to end up with.
I have heard from reputable sources that former Mayor Ziegler socked away a lot of money.
And that, well, you want that to be your money now?
Yes.
Okay, well, I think you might have your work cut out for you.
See, can we just get into that phrase for a second? Like the phrase, "I lucked out," I always think it means the opposite of what it means. I have my work cut out for me. Someone cut my work out, so it's easier.
Oh, so you think of it as a positive thing.
Right?
That someone cut your work out for you.
Yeah, I know exactly what I have to do because somebody cut it out for me.
Uh-huh.
I lucked out.
That I never thought.
I ran out of luck. There's no more luck in my luck cup.
Yeah, I never thought.
I lucked out.
Rick, I just got to say.
Yes?
I'm less focused on the mechanics of cutting your work out.
Okay.
And I'm a little more caught up in how insane your plan is and how much can go wrong with this. Because, like, the way you just explained it, the whole plan hinges on the coroner pinpointing the time of the murder by the contents of Gus's stomach. So if anything goes wrong, basically your life is over. So, you know, how on earth is all of this worth this plan?
Tom, if you saw this chick's bod, you'd be demanding I go through with this. She's seriously fit.
Oh, okay. No, you can't do this. She's serious. That's unsettling. But Rick, you can't go ahead with this plan. This is a disaster in the making. And
why?
I've been doing this show for a long time, and I can just tell you, over the years, I've heard different plans that have gone so far off target.
By who?
Like, there was this guy in this band, Mother 13, who had planned this thing where he was going to be the first band to play Mount Everest. And then he called and he bragged and he told me, next show I'm going to call up and I'm going to be on top of the world and I'm going to be a legend. And then the next show he called up, he was in a hospital, barely alive, and most of the people had perished on this expedition.
Huh.
There's this guy, Philly Boy Roy, who calls, and he was bragging to me one show about his label, Wawa Records, and he was guaranteeing me nothing could go wrong with this, and that he had it all figured out, and that it did. I was saying, you got to watch out. This doesn't sound great. It sounds very risky. And he said nothing was going to go wrong. Then a week later, he called up, and it was a disaster. And so I just feel like I've got a pretty good line on just people who are setting these impossible plans in motion, and they think nothing, they're so sure nothing can go wrong, and then they call back, and everything has gone wrong.
Tom, if I could lay down some heinous truth on you, I'm going to lay it down right now. It sounds like you got a lot of losers calling your show, you know, and honestly, I've got something they don't have.
You have something that, okay.
I do. I've got it. Robert Blake had it. Casey Anthony had it. William Burroughs had it. Vince Neil had it. OJ had it, and he lost it.
Okay, well, everybody you named got away with murder on your list there.
Hey!
Of who had it.
Don't tar me with the same brush with which you tarred those animals. I'm not actually committing murder here.
All right,
look, it's all going to make sense when you see the HBO documentary next year, all right?
Uh-huh. Well, I can just say there's no way that this insanely stupid idea has been picked up by HBO.
Well, that's where you come in on this, okay?
Uh-huh.
So you make a call to Grant Pinkler or whoever runs that place, and you say that they got to pick up this amazing doc that you're co-producing.
Yeah, I don't know if that's going to happen. That sounds... So I'm going to be co-producing this thing.
You are co-producing it, yes.
And I'm just going to call Grant Tinkler.
Yeah.
And tell him to pick the thing up about the guy who put the meatball sub on the car of the guy from the Ratmen and was accused of murder but then got out.
Yes, yeah, yeah.
So dumb.
No, it's not. It's great. It's great. And, you know, legally you are co-producing this because we spoke about it over the phone. That's the law. Mm-hmm. I've done my research. Now you do yours.
Uh-huh. Well, I don't know if that tracks in any court of law.
It does.
A phone call?
Yep. Oh, crap. Hey, what? I got to get back to practice, okay? I'm going to call again soon to iron out all this stuff and touch base. All right? It's going to be great. And we are going to make millions of dollars, all right?
We're going to make millions of dollars.
We are, all right. Hang on, Ig. I'll be right there.
Who?
Iggy.
Hang on, Iggy.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I play drums in the new Iggy Pop band.
Okay.
I forgot to mention this, yeah.
Yeah, I didn't know this, Rick. This is news.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's me, it's Mike Watt. His birthday's today.
It's Mike Watt's birthday, okay.
Yep. Izzy Stradlin, you know, Ig and me.
Uh-huh.
Oh, no.
What?
Oh, he wants to start with Lust for Life. It's my weakest song. I just, you know, that drum part that Hunt Sales came up with.
Yeah.
Deceptively hard, and Ig gets really mad if I don't do it right.
Okay.
All right. All right, guys, hang on. All right, here we go. All right. Drop my sticks.
Iggy, no! No, Iggy! Oh, he's whipping me with his designer button-down shirt. No, Iggy! Oh, I'll call you next week!
Okay. Wow. How about, geez. Rick. You hear that, Mike? Another case of hubris. You get it, right? Mike? Yeah, no, I heard you. Thanks again for listening to Best Show Bests. And I want to thank Martin DeGrell for supervising the episodes of Best Show Bests. And of course, much thanks to Jason Gore, Pat Byrne, Martine Sellis, Brendan McDonald, AP Mike, of course, John Worster. Who else? Marcia Neumeier, and you, the Best Show listener. Thank you. And if you like this, check out the full show every Tuesday night from 9 p.m. to midnight at thebestshow.net, and support the Best Show, patreon.com/thebestshow. Thanks so much for listening. Goodbye.